Hello, listeners, and welcome. 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld London, an actual play RPG podcast that uses the 7th edition Call of Cthulhu system. We weave macabre Gaslight-era tales of terror and suspense for your listening enjoyment. Our games are story-driven and rules-light. Now, our keeper for Otherworld London, Wes Otis.
Hey everybody, before we get into the final episode of Otherworld London for this season, I'd like to talk about our Patreon page very quickly. With your support, we can get to a point where we're putting out a show every week instead of every 2 weeks. It takes a long time to do all the sound effects, music, and editing that goes into each show. So if you like what you hear, you enjoy our show, and you can be a backer or a supporter, head on over to Patreon, look up 12-Sided Stories, it's just all written out, and allow us to continue to make great content for you on a more frequent basis. So thanks a lot. This is a special episode because it's a one-on-one episode with Mac. We are going to be playing just a focused game on Ethel. Just remember, as you're listening to this, all of the stuff that is happening at the exact same time as the other three one-on-one games. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely not. I think you already did.
I think I kind of did.
Yeah, I think you stole my thunder. What more can I say? They know who I am by now.
Yes, I hope so. We're picking up the last game that Ethel was in. You had a psychotic break.
Yeah.
And you beat your maid, Agatha, to death.
That was a good time.
Yeah. And then after you beat her to death, Eugenia came by, mm-hmm. and you kind of got her to go away.
Yeah, it was not a good time.
Yeah, it was not a good time. And when you turn around, you saw the four ghosts, Rose, Agatha, your mother, and your husband. They were a few feet away from you,
yeah.
And that's where we ended the last episode.
Accurate.
Yes, very accurate. So, as you turn around, they're kind of floating just like a few feet off the ground, and they start coming towards you. So go ahead and roll against your power.
Big bucks, no whammies.
What'd you get?
99.
Oh, you critically failed.
99. These dice are terrible now. I hate them. It's always on the ones that have the best storytelling potential, though. Because let's see how horrible this can get. I'm ready for it.
As you fall into darkness, you start to hear something. It sounds like some kind of alien world with strange and bizarre animals. You look up into the sky. At first, it's just blackness. But then small points of light start to ignite like stars, but they're not the constellations you're used to looking at. Below your feet is grass, and a chill wind comes over you. That's when you realize that you're on top of a large ridge overlooking a valley. At the center of the valley is a huge city. It's teeming with life. You can feel it, much like you feel ghosts. There's something drawing you there. As the lights in the sky start to become brighter, you start wondering if the world that you're in now is the afterlife. You can't be sure. Your mind starts to break apart with all the pressures that you've been through. Suddenly, you feel somebody pulling on your arm. Darling, darling, wake up, honey. You're having one of your nightmares again. Sweetheart, please, wake up.
What is happening?
I don't know, sweetheart. You were yelling again in your sleep. Are you okay? I don't...
It's a beautiful day out. I'm just worried. I know your mother stresses you out, but you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And you look up, and it's your husband in the bed next to you, and the sun is just starting to stream through the window, and you see the large willow trees out on the front lawn of your Savannah home.
Herbert, wait, no, this is a trick.
What do you mean, darling? It's not a... What trick would it be?
You aren't... I saw you... This can't be real.
Oh, sweetheart, settle down.
I've missed your face.
Well, it's only been a few hours since the last time you saw it, dear.
I hope I don't wake up.
You are awake, darling. You are awake. Look, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me.
No, this can't be. This I was in London and in the house and the ladies' society and...
You're having that dream again? Look, let us go and have some breakfast.
Okay.
So he gets up, he goes out, and you look around, and sure enough, it's the house that his father bought for you. You lived here for a few years before his death. At least that's what you think.
I would get out of the bed and see if does the nightstand feel solid? I mean, does everything feel solid?
Everything feels solid. It even smells like home. Like, you can smell his scent on the sheets, and you can feel the wood under your feet and the breeze coming through the window. It's a gorgeous sunny day out.
So I died of shock. Okay. This is heaven.
Okay. So, what do you do?
I suppose I would go down to breakfast.
Okay. And darling, it's so good to see you. I must say, I was concerned when you first woke up that you were... These dreams you've been having, they're concerning me.
Will you humor me and tell me what today is?
Well, it is June the 3rd, 1886.
I see.
Do you not remember? We were married not long ago. We had a wonderful courtship.
Yes, I do remember. Trust me, there's not a day goes by that I don't think of it.
And we escaped away from our chaperones that one night. That was fun. Darling, you worry me a lot with this. Is there anything we can do?
It would be very nice to perhaps have some breakfast and maybe take a boat out on the lake.
Of course. That... Your mother's going to be here. It depends on whether or not your father slows her down. You know, it's difficult.
And Ethel cringes when he says that.
What is wrong?
Just my father.
What about him?
Horrible man.
How? He's... been wonderful.
Well, now I definitely know I'm not awake.
Maybe I should call for the doctor. Would that be okay?
None of this makes any sense. No, I'm fine. We can stay here until they arrive.
Of course. Let's have our breakfast and put our minds on better things. Would you like some sweet tea, honey?
I absolutely would, and I know it's a mite early, but maybe a drop of something stronger.
Okay. So he makes you a drink. So do you still want to go out on the boat?
Yes.
Okay. So you guys go down, and he gets the boat ready. And I would imagine that it's very strange to look at him. You know, he's kind of a funny guy. He will do things to try to make you laugh, like accidentally fall in the water or whatever.
Although, if he falls in the water, I might tense up a little bit, because Ethel did have a childhood trauma in dark water, and she has a scar in her leg from something that tried to pull her under. So, depending on the nature of the jest, she might freeze up a little.
So, when you think about that, you think about your leg and the scar. You look down, and you notice that the scar is not there. And he says, darling, are you ready?
I believe that I am. And she's severely starting to wonder if maybe she did die and went to a place that doesn't suck.
You go out on the lake, and he paddles out to the middle, and there's this soft breeze, mid-morning. He's holding your hand. He says, so have you thought any more about trying for children? How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I'm a bit muddled today, as you surmise, so...
I'm sorry, honey.
Honestly, right now, I'm just happy to be here with you.
I understand. I do think that we should possibly talk to a doctor and see what he says, I'm just worried about these nightmares you've been having. They seem to plague your mind quite a bit.
That they do. That they do.
And as time goes on, you guys spend like 20 or 30 minutes out on the lake just talking. And at some point you hear this booming voice from the pier. Ethel, your mother and I are here. Oh, your parents are here. We should go back, and I guess our date is done for right now.
And can they be seen from the boat?
Yeah, you know.
I think seeing her mother looking alive and healthy, Ethel's gonna probably start crying, like trying not to outwardly show it, but definitely like... the tears starting to well up in her eyes.
Well, I definitely think that it's a good time for a sand check.
Fair enough.
So your sand is at, I think you're...
I'm at like around 66.
60 at this point, 66. So go ahead.
So it's a 10, thank God.
Okay. So yeah, you're like, you're probably welling up, but you're not cracking, right? Mm-hmm.
And it's more of an emotional welling up, though. Just, this can't be, but I want it to be.
Right. So you get over to the docks, and your father comes down the docks and helps Herbert out of the boat, and then he puts his hand down towards you to help you out.
I'm able to get out of the boat, thank you.
Oh, he's so willful. All right, I'll wait with your mother over here.
And I will get myself out of the boat.
All right. You start walking back up to the house, and your mom comes over and says, you know, your father's not going to be able to help you out of boats much longer.
Well, I'm not sure that I need his help in particular.
Mm-hmm. Even if we don't need someone's help, sometimes they need us to need their help, if that makes sense. Anyway, you look tired, dear. Are you okay?
I haven't slept well in quite some time.
Is it the nightmares still?
It's always the nightmares.
I was hoping that marriage would chase them away. You have such a lovely home. Maybe someday soon there'll be small voices around of children to help you with your grief. I do worry about you, though, dear.
I know. And I'm going to reach out and take her hand. Okay. And just, like, I need to know that it feels real.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And I would imagine that the fact that it feels real probably makes it even a little bit more difficult to...
Oh, definitely. Because it's just, what is happening? And is it a dream? Is it a trick? You know, and...
Right.
You know, I want to stay there forever.
Right.
But I don't trust it.
Right. So you guys go up to the house. A good Southern family reunion is sitting on the porch drinking lemonade or tea.
Mint juleps.
Mint juleps or whatever.
Which I'm sure Ethel likes. I hate them.
Yeah. Exactly. And just kind of having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
As this is happening, the father that you remember was not this man. The memories that you're fighting,
yeah,
because you said you woke up and you mm-hmm. don't feel this is real. The nightmares that you were having of your mother being killed by this man, he acts differently than the man that you have nightmares about. So, darling, your father says, now that you are married and well set up, what are you doing with your days lately?
I've been occupying my time with reading, mostly.
And are you still playing the piano at all?
Occasionally.
Are you two going to go on any trips or anything?
I'm honestly just so happy to be right where I am right now. Forgive me.
Oh, it's okay. It's all right. And he comes over and he puts his large hand on your shoulder and gives you a hug.
It's super confusing.
Yeah.
Because I think the instinct is still there to shy away from that. And, like, you know, she had, you know, these interactions with her father, and that usually led to violence, or even if he wasn't in a particularly violent mood, there was still the potential for it. So she's going to shrink in on herself as much as possible under
right.
his touch.
Are you okay?
I'm not feeling particularly well today.
Well, if you need to go upstairs and lay down, we understand. We all under the weather from time to time.
I think maybe I might do that. Mother, would you accompany me, please?
Of course, dear. Of course. All right. And you leave the two of them on the porch, and you guys go upstairs. It's been a while since I've tucked you in.
I just wanted to have a little more time seeing you.
Oh, of course. Do tell me. Is everything okay? Like, you've been married and, you know, we don't see you as much as we used to. You seem, I don't know, disjointed.
I'm a bit confused at the moment between what's real and what's not real. And I'm going to look, like, very intently, like, right in her eyes. Like, I'm trying to parse out if what... Because it... How can it be real?
How long have you had these feelings of the world isn't real?
I suppose maybe as of this morning.
You've always had bad dreams, and for some reason, certain men make you feel uncomfortable. Have any men ever done anything inappropriate?
Gosh, this is a hard one, because she's just thinking, all she can think about is her father.
Yes.
And in this context, she's just so unsure of what's going on. Not that I recall, and I don't want you to worry about me. I honestly don't want you to worry.
Well, I mean, you've gone through these spells before, and... I am a mother. Mothers worry.
I understand, and I appreciate it.
When you're a mother, you'll worry too.
If that day comes, then I suppose I will.
I'm sure it will. It's for the best, you know. Because there's only one better thing than being a mother, and that's being a grandmother.
And we're back to this.
Well, I'm sorry, dear. I don't mean to pressure.
Now, yet you do. Yet you do.
Now, lay down and go to sleep, and when you wake up, we'll have dinner, okay?
That sounds delightful.
You go to sleep, and you are standing over Agatha's body. It's nighttime. It feels like someone's been in and out of your house several times, but they haven't moved the body. Her eyeball is out of the socket and laying kind of to the side of her face. And you hear movement throughout the house, but you don't see anyone. What do you do?
At this point, I'm pretty mad because I was in a much happier place, and now I'm back here with this. Who is there?
You hear what sounds like mumbling or muffled voices. You can't make anything out. Like I said, everything is very dark.
I said, who is there?
Suddenly, right next to you, appears Rose's ghost.
Rose.
What happened?
I couldn't save you.
I just remember pain and then nothing.
I'm so sorry. I tried.
What happened?
The brooch. The brooch, it came back and it burned into your chest. I tried, but it was so horrific.
There's something wrong here. The afterlife is not what I expected. I have to go. He's looking for me.
Who's looking for you? Is it your husband?
She looks around. I've got to go.
No, tell me, please.
She fades out.
I'm probably like grabbing my hair in bunches at this point, like just in a panic.
Right. And you look around and you still hear this muffling, and then suddenly these two police officers come into the, you know, foray.
Look at this. Yet another body. Yeah, I know. This is the second one from this house. I bet the detective has a fancy for the lady, or she would have already been hung up by a neck. I agree. You're not wrong. How many more people does this woman get to kill before she's dealt with? I know that they're thinking about sending her someplace. The doctor says she needs a hospital or something. A hospital? This woman needs to be convicted of murder and hung. We can't keep letting this woman get away with murder. Unfortunately, we don't get any say. We just have to clean up the body and hope that we don't have to come back to this accursed place. You're right, of course. Well, let's get this over with.
And you hear a voice far away. It gets closer. Dear, wake up. You're having another dream. Are you okay?
So while I'm still hearing that and have sort of this kind of double elusive exposure, yeah. I'm going to try and turn and look to where the book was.
The book is still on the ground.
I'm going to, like, try and reach out and grab for it.
Okay, so as you reach for it, your hand passes through the book, and then suddenly you're pulled away, like almost like a tunnel,
mm-hmm.
And then you open your eyes, and your husband is above you. Are you quite okay, honey?
I'm not okay. I do not understand what is happening.
I think we've waited long enough. We should go to a doctor and
see. I don't want to go and see a doctor.
I know you don't want to go see a doctor, dear, but we must.
No, this isn't right. This is not real.
Of course it's
real. It's not. You died. I saw you die.
He takes your hand. He goes, feel my hand.
It's not real. It's a trick.
It's not a trick.
I've seen too many things. So many things. There's no way.
We're taking you to the doctor right now. Come on.
I'm going to pull my hand forcefully out of his. I am not going to the doctor.
You keep having these dreams.
I'm not sure that this isn't the dream.
What can I do?
Just let me be.
Okay.
But
he starts walking out the door.
Herbert, I love you, but I need some time, please.
I understand, but remember, I love you too, and I want to help you in any way that I can.
I know, please, just give me some time.
All right, dear. Walks out. You're alone in the room. The wind is gently, lifting up the curtains, the cotton curtains. It's probably 5 o'clock.
I'm just not convinced that this is the reality. As much as Ethel wants nothing more than for this to be the reality, there's too much. She remembers too much for this to be real.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. I think I'm going to grab my coat.
Okay.
Even because I'm sure it will get chillier in the evening because we live on the lake, and right. Try and get out of the house and go for a walk somewhere outside and away from everyone.
I'm going to say you're doing this stealthily, you're trying not to be heard.
So I think they're probably just going to try and lock me up.
Right. Yeah. You have a stealth of 40. Can you give me a roll?
Yeah, I can. We'll see what actually happens from it. 38!
Wow, okay, cool.
What up? Yeah. Yeah, in backwards, not real land, Ethel does really well at things.
So you make it out the back. You can hear your father snoring on the front porch because he's fallen asleep. And your mother is probably doing some kind of embroidery or something. And your husband's pacing in his study because he just doesn't know what to do. And you make it out the back, and your lab comes around the corner. kind of comes up to you and nudges your arm. And what do you do?
I'm going to try and subdue it as much as I can because I don't want... I don't want the dog to bark. Okay. So I'm gonna be like, come on.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, follows. So I was, take it with me for a walk out in the the surrounding trees and area.
Okay, so you start walking out there. How far out do you want to go, and where do you want to go?
I'm going to go back towards the lake.
Okay.
Because everything that was tragedy in her life ties back to the water.
Right. Okay, so you make your way to the far side of the lake through some of the trees and whatnot, and the dog is following next to you. You're at the lake.
I'm going to take a very drastic measure because of... everything has felt so real, but if I were to pick up, a sharpened rock and try and actually, cut across the top of my arm.
Right.
Is it having a reaction? Is this actually a reality? Can I feel pain? You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. So yeah, you're gonna cut?
Put a scratch across my arm to see if there's nothing feels real, and it's that that need to experience something that's a physical sharp pain that you would normally
right.
do to break yourself out of a dream.
Right, I understand. So, yeah, you take a sharp rock and you pull it along your arm. And how hard are you pressing? Just hard enough to feel?
Just enough to maybe draw a small line of blood.
Okay. So sure enough, it hurts, and you drop the rock, and the dog starts to whimper a little bit and is kind of freaked out.
It's all right, Jeremiah. She's going to be at such a loss unless she can go back to sleep or dredge something up. I think, given that everything happened with relation to the book, she doesn't know it's real. Is there any chance that she got deep enough with one of those spells that maybe she has memorized one of them?
It's a possibility. You were actually pretty close to casting one. You've got, what, 5 spells? So why don't we figure out which one...
Speak to the Dead or Gate of Dreams would have been what she was hoping to pull from her memory. Yeah, because, I mean, she might misremember and come up with a different one, but I think the one she was would have tried for would probably have been Gate of Dreams, but Speak to the Dead would have been a close second.
So Gate of Dreams, is that the one you want to try for?
That's the one that would make the most sense, considering she doesn't know what's real. I figure even if I cast something successfully, it will probably go bad.
Right. So you're thinking Gate of Dreams is what you want to do.
Yeah, it would be that one.
So, you say the words.
Sleep of oaks of venom, per transient venom, heed enum estera, et que superventura, paria dies, mentibus hominum, visari, admite procolpota.
Roll. What'd you get?
95! Let's do this.
Okay.
They're going to be real surprised when I come back with a new character for the game.
So, the portal opens. And then it violently shuts and it knocks you into the water. And it's dark because the sun has started to go down, and you hear off in the distance your husband's voice as he's calling out for you, searching, and the dog barking, and you're struggling as this dark water is coming around you and pulling you down into the depths. So you sink down in the water and you feel it like go up into your throat, and suddenly you wake up. So I need to explain this well so that the audience understands. Do you know, like, the toddler beds that are low to the ground? Okay, they're like...
Nope.
Okay. So toddler beds...
Toddlers.
Toddler beds are really small beds that are usually pretty close to the ground.
Okay.
This is sort of like that. It's maybe half a foot off the ground.
Like a cot?
Like a cot, almost. But this is wood. It's got wood slats on the side, but they go all the way around, and the wood slats go up and over. You are laying down on this thing, and you are trapped because you're looking up. You hear all of this noise from down the hall of people screaming and whatever. Below you are slats as well, and standing above you is a hooded figure. You don't have any clothes on. And you're stuck in this, like, wood cage. Oh, I'm so glad that you woke up. You know, I've waited so long to have a conversation with you in which you maybe would remember your place instead of constantly driving me insane with your insufferable, long-winded... I don't know, what's the word? Pride. She takes off her hood, and it's Mabel. And she produces some kind of strange long dagger. It's like a ceremonial dagger.
Mabel, you insufferable bitch.
Oh, now, let's not get catty at this moment.
I think this is the perfect time to get catty.
Let me let you in on a little secret. You killed your maid. The police found your maid. And now you
here in Bethlehem as a ward of the state until you're deemed mentally sound. And guess what? They'll never deem you mentally sound. Now, you're in this bed because I ask for you to be in this bed. It's nice, isn't it? You can see up at the ceiling, and you're not able to harm yourself. The slats underneath you allow certain human excrement to go where it needs to go. But I need you for something even more special. This will hurt. And you're pinned, and she comes up.
There isn't anything that this woman can do to me that is any worse than the shit I've already dealt with.
Right.
So I'm just going to stare her down.
Okay. She comes up, and she takes the knife, and it's, like I said, it's a pretty long dagger.
Yeah.
And she says, Kale Galasa Kamo, and pushes the dagger down through your shoulder, out through the back.
I'm not even going to give her the benefit of a scream. I'm just going to try and grit my teeth down as much as I can.
Let's see if you can do that.
Okay.
Because that's hard.
That's really hard. It's but really it, but difficult. If I can, I'm not going to give her the satisfaction.
Now, I think this is a power thing. So, like yeah. your grit, your soul. You've got 70 in power. Go ahead.
Well, that rolled okay. So that's a 2. Fuck you, Mabel.
So you don't do, you just, you're staring her down as she's shoving this knife through. And you hear, she goes, that's it. Pulls it out. Oh, I was really hoping for more theatrics, but I guess I get what I get.
I wouldn't give you anything that you wanted.
Oh, you ever. You have already given me something I've wanted.
Can I spit at her?
You can, but it's not going to go anywhere because you're stuck.
Okay. Yeah. I was hoping maybe she was doing supervillain I'm over your face thing.
No, no.
Damn it.
She goes and she pulls this bowl out from underneath the cot, and it's full of your blood. She goes, oh, you just gave me everything I need. We're going to stop right there. Thank you very much for doing this one-on-one game.
Yeah, this is going to be awful when everybody is back together.
Yes, yes. So like I said at the beginning, remember that all of these things are happening at the same time for the one-on-one games. When you listen to Ethel's game or Maggie's game, everything that you hear for the one-on-one games are going on at the exact same time. And then we all kind of will weave it back to, you know, together when we get everybody in the same room. We're going to do social media really quick. You can find me at platemailgames.com. I do all the editing and Michelle does all the music for the show. You can find tracks for your own games on DriveThruRPG. Just look up Plate Mail Games, and our catalog of literally hundreds of sound effects and different things are there for your games. If you want to follow the podcast, you can find us at the number 12, Sighted Stories, all one word. And you can also find us on Discord, which literally has no one really in it but myself and Mac. But we'd like to change that. So find us on Discord. It's just 12 Sighted Stories. It's all one word again. And we can talk about the show and the characters and all that good stuff. And now I'm going to pass it over to you.
I've been Mac Beauvais, your madcap spellcaster. You can follow me wherever great social media is sold as at Strange Like That. I also GM games occasionally, and I am co-GMing a game over at Happy Jack's every other Monday of Monster Hearts. It's called Carefree High. So if you would like to get your sexy teenage monster on, that is the show for you. So please tune in for that. And I hope to see you online and in all of your nightmares.
Well, thank you again for listening, and I'm really excited to see where everything goes. Because, of course, you know, as an actual play game, I have no idea how everything's going to end up. So this is going to be a lot of fun. So thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.